Chapter 6. It's been our focus all month long, Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10. And we're going to go over this one last time. The title of the message this morning is The Final Call to Stand. The final call to stand. Paul has given everything that he needs to this young church, and now he's about to let them know that, all right, now it's time to stand. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, I want you to read verses 10, 11, and 12 with me, and I'll read 13. 10, 11, 12, and then I'll read 13. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's start reading verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'll read verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. We're finalizing this message, and for the rest of the year, by God's grace, we are going to endeavor to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, what are we standing for? Well, there's a lot of things that we're going to stand for, a lot of things we're going to stand against as well, but Christians need to stand and withstand in these evil days. Withstand comes with the idea of standing against or opposing. Say, preacher, what do we need to withstand against? Well, one thing is the onslaught of accepting gay and lesbian lifestyles as normal. Another thing is a pornography on the internet and other places. Another thing is sexual abuse and molestation. Another thing is rebellion, adultery, shacking up, fornication, lies, etc., and the like. Another thing is a society that calls wrong right and right wrong. Amen. That's just a few of the things that you and I need to stand for as Christians. Say, preacher, we're going to go out and get signs and start picketing the White House. No, we're not picketing anything. We're just going to present the gospel. By the way, the gospel still changes lives. Jesus Christ has the ability to affect a life for the glory of God. So we're not going to pick it. We're going to promote the gospel because Jesus still saves. Jesus still saves. What changed your life? The gospel. What's going to change the life of these people we just mentioned? The gospel. And so we need to stand and withstand in this evil day. Father, bless now in the next moments that we have as we look at the word of God. And Lord, get a final call to stand. And I pray that as the word of God is preached, Lord, the Christians would get stirred. Lord, we may be excited about what you want to do in our lives. And Lord, we might do it. Lord, there's a world out there that needs the light of Jesus Christ. They need the light of life. Lord, there's a dark world out there, and the only light that they will see oftentimes may be the light of a Christian. They may not read the Bible. They may not go to church. They may not watch a religious program on television, but they can see the life of a believer calling on the name of Jesus and witnessing for Jesus Christ. God, help us to be those that will promote the gospel, that folks will see our light. And as our light is shining, they would see the glorious works that you do through us. And they might want to know, what does it take to become a Christian? And God, help us to give them the blessed gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today, under the sound of my voice, Lord, there may be one that has never been born again. They've never trusted Christ as Savior. And Lord, there is a penalty attached to sin. That's death, and that death is in hell. But Lord, you have come to free them from that place. And so I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl that needs to call on Jesus Christ today, that they would do so. Lord, baptism is good, but baptism doesn't save. Giving is good, but giving doesn't save. Being good is good, but being good doesn't save. It's only through the precious blood of Jesus Christ that we can be saved. And Lord, so I pray for anyone today that does not know Jesus as their Savior, they might come to know him before it's everlasting too late, and then they can stand and withstand in this evil day. Help us, Lord. those that are fallen sick on illnesses, God, raise them back up. Those that could not be with us for whatever reason, God, we pray your hand of mercy upon them. But Lord, most of all, glorify thyself. Use me as your instrument today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may preach the word of God. Thank you for loving us. Lord, bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated.
God, you always take me through.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Dawson. It's a blessing to know that God is not going to leave us in the valley. Amen. I say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. Wherever we go, God goes with us, and we're excited that he does. And what a blessing it is to be here. This is the final call to stand, as you see behind me with our banners here. The theme all year is stand, be able to stand, be able to withstand over here. Having done all to stand, the Bible says stand, therefore, in verse number 14. We've looked at this since the beginning of the month, and our goal this year is to be able to stand against the onslaughts of the devil. You say, well, preacher, the devil is not going to bother me. Ha, 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 ha. He has already bothered you because you think he won't bother you. Amen. He has already got you bamboozled. By the way, the devil will continue to bother you until you go home to glory. Amen. Why? Because you can do the most damage to his wicked kingdom by keeping people from going from his kingdom to the kingdom of God. Amen. And he knows that you have the gospel. You have the medicine. You have that which is going to make people get out of hell and get into heaven. Amen. Now, by the way, once they die, they cannot get out of hell. They're there for eternity. But our job is to pull them out from before then. So far, we've covered chapter 1, 2, and 3. We looked at the belief of the believers here, or their wealth in Christ, what they have to believe in. Then we saw that their belief dictated their behavior or their walk for Christ. By the way, your belief will dictate what you do. And I'll go a step further. You do what you do because of what you believe. Amen. You can say amen or you can say oh me, whichever the case. But you do what you do because of what you believe. You stop at a stop sign because you believe if you don't, you'll get a ticket. You believe that if you go so many miles over the speed limit, you'll get a speeding ticket so you don't go over that speeding limit. Amen. There's certain things that you know that you believe in that you do. And you say, well, if I do this, this will happen. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. He says in chapters 1, 2, and 3, there's your wealth in Christ. There's your belief. If you believe in that wealth, then it's going to dictate your behavior. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 talk about their behavior, their walk for Christ. Then chapter 6, verse 10 on through the end of this passageway here deals with their battle or their warfare. By the way, if you believe right and if you are walking right and behaving right, there is going to be a battle on your hands. You stand for God and there's going to be a battle. You say, preacher, it's not going to be a battle. You haven't been in the battle then. By the way, may I say this as well? If you have not been in the battle this week, you have already lost because there is a battle going on. Amen. So we began looking at some things here because their belief dictated their behavior. And because of their behavior, Paul's letting them know there's going to be a battle going on. Let you know that already, Christian. When you got saved, you signed up for a battle.
Yes, sir, we did, Pastor.
You say, preacher, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. I didn't sign on the line saying Uncle Sam wants you or needs you. No, you signed up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, saying I'm going to be a soldier of the cross.
Amen.
Amen. From that point on, you became a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 10, we saw some things here. We found the final call here. He said, finally, my brethren, and he addressed this to wives, husbands, children, fathers, employers, and employees that have received Christ as Savior. And he said, look, if you're a brethren, if you're saved, let me tell you, something applies to your life. By the way, if you're saved, there's something applies to your life. Whether you're a wife, whether you're a husband, whether you're a father, whether you're an employer, an employee, you fall in there somewhere. He says it's a final call. Then he says there's a firm caution. He said, be strong in the Lord. He said, our strength lies in the Lord. And then he said, there's a fixed concern and the power of his might. He said, make sure that you understand your power and your might comes from the Lord, not yourself. Then in verse number 11, we saw certain things here as well. We saw there's an action required. He says, put on the whole armor of God, not a part of it, but put on the whole armor. Not only there's an action required, we said it's an affordable range. It's of God. He purchased it, not you. Amen. By the way, he purchased it with the blood of Jesus Christ. So there's an affordable range, but an anticipated result. He says that she may be able to stand. He says, look, I'm going to give you something that you can put on. And just like this soldier here can put on this armor, now he can stand out there in battle and he can absorb some things coming towards him. He says, put on the whole armor of God and you'll be able to stand as well. Then he said, there's an anticipated result. You may be able to stand. And then there's an adversary to resist. He said, against the wiles of the devil. Wiles are the tricks and the schemes that he does. By the way, the devil is not dressed up in red. He doesn't have a tail. He doesn't have a pitchfork. He doesn't have horns on the top of his head. He doesn't snarl at you. And he's not Elmer Fudd or Yosemite Sam dressed in red tights.
Yes, sir, Pastor. No,
he's not. He is what is going to get you to fall. Oftentimes, he will not come intimidating or imposing to you because he knows you'll retreat to Jesus. So he'll come subtly to try to woo you down by your, get this, lust.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
By your lust. What do you desire? And what you desire is how he's going to get you. And what you've got to answer is, what do I desire? Now, if you desire Jesus, guess what? He ain't going to be able to affect you. He'll still battle against you. But if you desire something contrary to Jesus, what he will get you to do is lay down your arms. And I demonstrated that before. I got my sword here. Where's my soldier at? Got my shield, got my sword. And the devil knows that I am no match against these. So in order for you to go and do what you want to do, you've got to actually lay down your sword and lay your shield down. And then you go.
There you go.
That's your lust. And guess what? He's got you.
Yes, sir.
He's got you. Did he come snarling like a lion? Did he come as a menacing foe? No, he came as a little quiet, wicked lamb to lure you away by your lust. So there's an adversary to resist. But then we saw last week, there's a contest of evil. He says, for we wrestle. The contest of evil. But then there's a concealment of evil. So it's not against flesh and blood. It's not something that you can see, according to verse number 12. But then not only is there a contest of evil and a concealment of the same evil, but it's a community of evil. He says, not against flesh and blood, but it's against invisible instigators, their principalities. Say, preacher, what's the principality? It's like a sheriff, designated demons, their chief rulers. He said, against powers, destructive demons. Say, preacher, what is that? Deputies. Their delegated authority. So if you will, the principality is the sheriff. The powers would be the deputies, the delegated authority. So they're rulers of the darkness of this world. They are world rulers of darkness and evil. They have delegated demons all around the world. By the way, I said this last week and I'll say it again. There is one assigned to Donald Trump. There may be several assigned to Donald Trump. There is one at least assigned to you.
Yes, sir, there is.
There may be several assigned to you. The preacher normally has several attached to him.
Mm-hmm.
Say, preacher, why? So the preacher cannot preach the gospel so that you can hear and get saved.
That's right.
Amen. And so he's going to do everything in his power to make sure that the preacher does not stand in this pulpit and tell you about Jesus Christ's death for you, his burial for you, his resurrection for you. And so you will not be saved. So he wants to make sure that I don't get that message to you. But let me tell you something. You're going to get the message anyway. He says, spiritual wickedness in high places. These are divisive demons. They're supernatural plots of wickedness and evil that get into your mind to get you to do things that you normally would not do. How many of y'all remember Flip Wilson? What was his claim to fame? The devil made me do it.
Do it. Yes, Pastor.
The
yes.
Devil made me do it.
Yes, sir.
Devil can't make you do anything. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You do it of your own free will. Did Eve, was Satan behind Eve with a sword? Bite that fruit, or I'll stab you in the back. No.
Nope.
You know what he did? He lured her away by her lust. Same way he does you and I. So Paul brings us now up to verse number 13. He says, you know, I told you about the final call. I told you about the actions that's necessary. I told you about this contest of evil that you're in. Now I'm going to summarize it all up and give you one final call to stand. And that's going to be the crux of the message today, folks. One final call to stand. By the way, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen. Amen. How will we do it? By standing and withstanding in the Lord, ready for battle in his armor. want you to notice several things about verse number 13 after we have looked at these other things. First of all, in verse number 13, there's a restatement needed. A restatement needed. You say, what do you mean a restatement needed? He says, wherefore take unto you. Paul here is restating what he had already previously stated in verse number 11. The reason for the restatement is that he says, you know, wherefore. Notice what it says, wherefore. Why is wherefore there? Because of verse number 12. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. By the way, there's a contest between two. You are being forced down and pinned down by the devil. And that's what wrestling is. Get you down on your back, get your shoulders down on the ground, and you cannot do anything. And so the Bible says we wrestle. So Paul says, because of what I just said, because of the wrestling match that's going on. By the way, if you're not wrestling with demonic influences, you will be wrestling with flesh and blood. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If you're not battling Satan and the demonic forces, you will find yourself battling against one another. And that is his goal. His goal is to not confront him on his terms, on God's terms with the Spirit's power and with the armor of God. His design is to get you and I to fight with each other. And I will tell you, if you're losing the battle spiritually, you will have increased battles with flesh and blood. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What am I saying? If I'm not fighting the battle against the enemy, I will be engaged fighting people.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Just the way it goes.
That's right, Pastor.
That's the way it goes. So because my enemy is unseen, he is so subtle, he is alluring me in, and he will get me to fight against people that I can see because I can't see him. And so I will blame it on you, or blame it on you, or blame it on you, or blame it on you. I'll blame it on somebody. You ever find these guys? It's everybody else's fault. Well, I'm in this condition because of my parents. Oh, it's my dad. Oh, it's my mom. Oh, it's my son. Oh, it's my daughter. Oh, it's my friends. Oh, it's my boss. Oh, it's my girlfriend. Oh, it's always somebody. Never you. It's never you. The enemy is unseen. And so if you can see the person, that's not the enemy. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He says, there's a restatement needed. He says, wherefore? Because of what I already said. In verse 11, our battle is not with the seen, but with the unseen enemies of the cross of Christ, the unseen enemies of God, the devil and his demons. And so there's a reason the action, the restatement is made. Notice not only the reason, but the relation. He says, wherefore take unto who? You. This is personal, folks. I can't put your armor on, neither can you put mine on. Amen. If you don't put your armor on, you will be unarmed. If I don't put my armor on, I'm going to be unarmed. This is personal. He said, wherefore take unto you as an individual. You need to do this. You need to take this armor. You need to put it on. You need to have your sword. You need to have your shield. You need to have all of your armor on. This is you, personal. The armor of God has been provided to you and I at no cost, but at the expense of Christ. God has provided, Christ has purchased it. Now we just need to put it on. By the way, one of the worst things to do on a cold day is to come out underdressed. You ever do that, come out on a cold day, and you forget your gloves or you forget your coat? Or, God forbid, you don't put on closed-toed shoes, and you come out in some sandals or something like that, and it's cold outside. What's one of the first things going to get cold on you? Your toes, your nose, and your toes. Did I say that right?
No.
Your nose, your toes, and your fingers. Those things don't get cold if they're not covered up. You go out there and try to do anything in the cold. I just go out to my garage and it's cold. And I'm thinking, glory, it's cold out here. I can't imagine what it's like outside. But you go outside underdressed and you'll find the elements will be on you quicker than you can imagine. And by the way, if it gets too hot, you can always take off something. But guess what? If you're underdressed, you can't put on anything. Why? You don't have it to put on. So Paul says, look, I'm reminding you, I'm restating this. There's a reason. Wherefore, there's some enemies out there in verse 11. You can't see them. There's a relation. You need to put on this armor. You need to have on this armor. This is to you. The worst thing is to go undressed or to go half dressed or to go half naked or to get caught naked. Say, preacher, that's embarrassing. It's embarrassing spiritually not to be clothed either. You go out there and you don't have your spiritual armor on. And by the way, I said this last week, I'll say it again, the devil can't see whether you got your armor on or not. Neither can anybody else. But they can see the effects of it. The devil can tell whether you have it on when he starts tempting you and when he starts luring you away. And he can get you to lay down your arms if you're not careful. But he knows if he tries to tempt you in the area of righteousness and you don't budge. Oh, man, they got on the breastplate of righteousness. Hey, if I try to get you to lie and you tell the truth. Hey, they got the loins going about with truth. Hey, bring somebody by to witness to them. Oh, man, they witness. They got their feet showered with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Man, I can't get them. Amen. They got the shield of faith up. Oh, man, I can't get them tempted on the word of God. Oh, my soul. They got the helmet of salvation. They're living right. And they know they're saved. Man, I can't get them there. I get them with the word of God. I'll twist it around some. Then you quote Bible back. Yeah. That Christian is fully armed. I better go and get somebody else. And guess what? The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will go to somebody else. He will be back. He will be back. So there's a relation. He says, you. Relation needed is personal. And Paul states, take unto you, or in other words, receive it for yourself, just like salvation. By the way, nobody can get saved for you either. I hear people say, well, I got saved for my son. I got saved for my daughter. I got saved for my wife. I got saved for my husband. No, you get saved for you. You get saved because you see yourself on your way to hell. You get saved because you know the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of those same sins is death. And you see yourself going to hell. And you call on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Lord, I see you died for my sins on the cross. I see you were buried for my sins. I see you were risen again for my sins. And Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Lord, I want to go to heaven. Lord, save me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. You can't get saved for anybody else but yourself. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. By the way, unless you are saved, you cannot use this armor. This is only to the brethren. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You've got to be in the Lord first. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I've got to be in Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. John 3:15 says, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. The relation. You. The reason. Wherefore. This warfare going on. By the way, let me ask you this question. If you died right now, are you sure you're going to heaven? Or do you have some doubts? If you got a doubt in your mind, I would get that settled today. Why? God loves you. Jesus died for you. And you can be saved today. But if you go out of here without armor, you are a sitting duck for the devil. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because you're already going to hell. And so he's just going to leave you alone and just say, be happy in your sin. Be happy with what you got. Hell is not real. It's not a real place. I'm not even real. But why do I got this voice in my head? Oh, you're just imagining things. Don't listen to that at all. None of this is real. You just live and you die and it's all over. You won't remember any of this. I beg to differ. And the Bible begs to differ. Because the Bible says you'll be called up to be judged for your sins. You'll be called up to be judged for your life. And it said the dead, small and great, stood before God and the books were opened. And another book, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Say, preacher, what is Paul getting at? He said there's a restatement that's needed. He said, wherefore, take unto you. But also there's a reinforcement that's necessary here. A reinforcement that's necessary. He said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Paul restates what he had already stated previously in verse number 11. Notice verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Notice verse number 13. Wherefore, take unto you how much? The whole armor of God. There's a restatement. Paul says, you know what? I want to remind you or restate to you that you need this armor. It's like a child going to school. The parents say, now you got your lunch? Got my lunch. You got your book back? I got my book back. Now, you sure you got your book back? Sure, I got my book back. You got your lunch? I got my lunch. And then you get in the car and you get halfway to school. Mom, I forgot my lunch bag. Didn't I remind you about your lunch bag? Didn't I remind you about your book bag? I forgot. As Christians, don't Christians forget sometimes? Oh, we forget. And God has reminded us again. We got to get that preaching, or we got to get that devotion, or we got to get that reading. And God reminds us. Let me restate this again to you. This is what I want you to do. So there's a reinforcement necessary here along with the restatement. Notice the reminder, the whole armor of God. He had already said that in verse number 11. The armor will only work as it's applied. By the way, your armor will do you no good hanging up in your closet. Just like your coat won't do you any good when you're outside. Oh, I got a coat, but it's at home. Oh, I've got some shoes, but they're at home. Oh, I've got some trousers, but they're at home. Oh, I've got the armor, but it's in the Bible. He said, take unto who? You. So the armor is made for you to take and then to put it on and put on every piece to cover your character and your testimony so that the devil does not have his way with you because you cannot see him. Just like you cannot see God, but you can see the effects of the word of God working in your life. You can see the power of God working in your life. Satan wants to work in your life too. And so he says, there's a reinforcement needed. This armor will only work if you put it on. Notice down in verse number 14, he says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. He says, I want you to live it, speak it, and do it. Notice what else he says down there. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, live right, speak right, do right, be right, get right, and stay right. By the way, never stay wrong. You got so many people say, well, I'm not right with God, so I'm not going to church. That's the dumbest thing I've heard. I'm like, staying at home is going to help you get right. Well, I'm not right with God, so I'm not going to take communion. Well, get right with God and take communion. That's the dumbest thing I've heard. Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I'm not going to church. You're a hypocrite as long as you're in sin. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. We don't like it, but it hits upside the head, but it's true. Coming to church is not going to stop you from being a hypocrite. Staying at home is not going to stop you. Getting right with God is what we need. That's why he said the breastplate of righteousness. Hey, by the way, if you don't have it on, Satan will exploit you. You know, you say, preacher, how's he doing that? Oop, there's the Christian. Christians don't talk like that. Oh, Christians don't say that. Oh, Christians don't go there. Oh, you don't have your breastplate of righteousness. Oh, Christians don't use that kind of language. They don't talk like that. Oh, Christians don't say those things. They don't behave that way. What does he do? Brings you in. Breastplate of righteousness. Live right, do right, stay right. Never stay wrong. Gospel of peace, he says down there. Feet shod with the preparation. The gospel of peace. Be prepared to share the gospel. Verse 16, he says, and take the shield, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He said, look, you better have your shield of faith. You better know what you believe. By the way, what do you believe? Some say, well, I believe the truth. The truth shall set you free. No, the truth ain't going to set you free. The Bible says, and they shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. If you don't know the truth can't help you out at all. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Unless you know the truth. Jesus said, and they shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. Well, I know truth. No, you don't know truth. I got truth. You better have Bible truth. Amen. The devil's got a truth too, but it's a lie. He's the father of it. Amen. And they sound pretty good when you want to hear them. He says down there, the shield of faith, verse 14 and verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Say, preacher, what's the helmet of salvation? Being sure that you're saved, then living like it so others can see it and know it. Amen. And then he said, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Depend on it, meditate on it, and use it. Then in verse 18, he says, another offensive weapon you have, praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. By the way, we have more Christians praying, we'd have more Christians standing. Somebody say amen. We have more Christians praying, we'd have more Christians standing. We're so busy bellyaching about what is not that we forget what is. And God wants us to pray that we can help each other out.
You know, it's easy to point out who's not here and what's not here and what we don't have. How about majoring on what we do have? We have a God in heaven. We have the Word of God that's infallible. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We've got the host of holy angels on our side. We've got the God of the church of God. Amen. We've got a whole lot. Let's stop majoring on what we don't have. Major on what we do have. We got the armor of God.
Amen.
And start saying, man, Lord, we've got so much. Why do I worry about so little that we don't have? Amen. Again, this armor will only work as it's applied. On a hanger does you no good in your closet. So he gives a reminder that we need. And he gives the reminder that we need. Amen. But also notice the resistance that we need. He says that you may be able to withstand. As he gives this reinforcement, he said, I'm going to give you a reminder, but I want to give you some resistance that you're going to need as well. He said that you may be able to withstand. Withstand comes with the idea of standing against or opposing. Along with standing, don't get pulled in, don't get pulled away, and don't get pulled down. We had G2 up here last week, and we had some guys in back of him to hold him up from being pushed over. Then we had some guys in front of him to hold him from being pulled away. You and I cannot be pulled down, and we cannot be pulled away, and we cannot be pushed down either if we're in the armor of God. Without the armor, we're going to get pushed down, pulled away, and pushed in. Say, preacher, what could I get pushed into? Foolishness and sin? You and I must oppose the satanic and demonic forces against us. And Paul is encouraging this church what they ought to do. By the way, the satanic forces are using men, women, boys, and girls all around this world to trap you and to trick you. If no one else stands and opposes sin, guess who should? The Christian. The Christian. If nobody else stands against sin, you ought to. Why? If you got the armor on, you have every right and ability, and you should. Unfortunately, there are those that are dabbling in sin, so they can't stand against sin. It's hard to talk against adultery when you know you're an adulterer. Hard to talk against fornication when you know you're in a fornication. Hard to talk against lying when you know you're in a lying. It's hard to talk about disrespecting your parents, talk against disrespecting your parents when you know you are disrespecting your parents. It's hard. It's hard. Because you know what people call you? Hypocrite. So stop doing it. Just stop doing it. And that's what I'm saying. You don't stay in sin. Notice not only that, the reality we need, not just the resistance and the reminder, the reality, he says, in the evil day. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. They were evil then and they're evil now. And Paul lets the Ephesians know that the time to withstand is in the evil day, and that is now. It's easy to stand in a good day. It's easy to stand in church when everybody's doing right. It's easy to stand at your job when everybody's a believer and everybody's doing right. It's easy to stand at school when everybody's doing right. It's easy to stand when everybody is doing what they ought to do according to the word of God. But what about when they're not? And you're the only one that's standing for that which is right. Will you stand? What about when all the children at school are going in to do wickedness? And you're the only one that's not. Will you stand? What about when everybody on the job wants to get into filthiness and foolishness and sin? And you're the only one doesn't. Can you stand? What about when everybody talks about how great it is to have a country where gay marriages have been approved and two men can marry each other and two ladies can marry each other and it's called marriage? Do you stand for what's right? Or do you just let them talk and gander on about how good it is? Or do you stand and say, my Bible says, man shall leave his mother and his father and shall cleave to his wife. My Bible says, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God he made created him. Male and female created he them. That's what my Bible says. My Bible says, well, God is joined together, let not man put asunder when it comes to a man and a woman together. That's what my Bible says. But see, we don't have our armor on, we cower down. We start saying, well, what President Obama did, I don't really agree with, but you know, to each his own. Fooey. How about to God his own? How about that? Well, I just think if we just all get along. No, you better start getting along with God first. You better get along with God first. Because when it's all said and done, there's no Obama, there's no president, there's no seal, there's no passing of a law. There's just going to be this book and man. And this book says no. And this book says no, I have every right to stand for it. Amen. Folks, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. And so Paul says, I want you to stand for these things. The evil day. And everyone around us is doing right, it's easy. But when everyone around us is doing wrong, it's not so easy. The evil day in which we need to stand is right now. Evil comes with the idea of being hurtful, degenerate from original virtue, diseased, derelict, vicious, mischievous, malicious, bad, grievous, harmful, lewd, and wicked. You say, preacher, where did you get that from? Go back to chapter 5 of Ephesians. Chapter 5 of Ephesians. And notice verse 16. By the way, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. By the way, do you know that every time you walk into the house of God, you come into a spiritual battle? Every time. Every hound of hell is going to pull against you to not be here. And then when you come here, every hound of hell is going to pull against you to not be right with God. They're going to find every reason why you shouldn't be right with God. That brother didn't shake your hand. That sister looked at you in a sly way. Your children ran around and did something they ought not do. That brother or sister didn't talk to you last week. Whatever it is, he's going to get your mind, your attention off of the things of God. That's spiritual warfare. And you cannot see them because you're blaming the wrong person. That's why Paul said in verse 11, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, to remind you. Hey, remember who we're fighting against. By the way, who do you think makes you fall asleep on God? It ain't God. The devil makes you fall asleep on God. It's work to stay awake when spiritual business is going on. Why? It's going against your flesh, and your flesh don't like it. Your flesh hates spiritual business. Your flesh, if it had its way, would get out of here quicker than you can shake a stick. Your flesh would hightail it out of here and say, I'm out of here. We don't want none of that. Where's the party? Where is the party? We want to ruckus and ruckus and ruckus, ruckus. That's what your flesh says. You didn't have a problem staying awake last night? My son was listening to one of the preaching videos for the youth. And the comment was made, young person has no problem staying awake for a 3-hour movie, but they die at a 30-minute sermon. Wow. Can't stay awake for a 30-minute sermon, but boy, 3-hour movie? Yeah. Stay up all night. More, more, more. 30-minute sermon. As soon as the preacher said, open up your Bibles too. Last thing you hear is amen. Closing them up. Time to go home. Guess what? The devil has won the battle. It's spiritual business. It's a warfare. Paul is warning them, the enemy that you're fighting is unseen. The days are evil. Satan knows the days are evil. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not something you can see. And if you don't have your armor, you will be succumbed. You will succumb to it. I'm just saying. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Young people are encouraged. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The Bible encourages all people with a reality we need to heed. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave himself for our sins, speaking of Jesus, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So the Bible says that Jesus Christ has been given so that you and I can be delivered from this present evil world. Ecclesiastes says, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days come. Give you several verses out of the Bible that deal with evil days and evil in general. Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. You know what the Bible is saying there? Hate evil. Hate evil. Hate evil. If it sounds evil, hate it. Romans 12:17, recompense no man evil for evil. Well, they did evil to me, so I'm going to do evil back to them. Bible says don't do it. Well, preacher, I'll get sucked up in this world. No, you won't stand for God. God's your protector. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing. Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from all evil. I like that. If I've got my armor on, God says, hey, look, I'll keep you from the evil. But to go to evil, you've got to lay this armor down. That's just the way it goes. I've got to lay my armor down. You cannot have your armor on and be in evil. They contradict one another. You cannot be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and put on the whole armor of God and be in sin. It's an impossibility. And so the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. 3 John 1:11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Amen. Amen. So folks, there's a restatement. He says, wherefore take unto you. There's a reinforcement needed. He said that you, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. Then lastly, there's a reassessment needed. A reassessment given. He says, and having done all to stand. Having done all to stand. You ever seen those heavyweight fighters? They get down to round 15. They don't have anything left. And they go out there. They can barely stand up. But that's the only thing they can do is stand. I remember watching Muhammad Ali go against Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier beat him up. I mean, beat him up. You know what he's able to do? Just stand. So all he could do was just stand. Paul said, I've told you in verse number 10 to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I told you in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I told you in verse 12, hey, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. And now I'm telling you, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all you can to stand. Having done all to stand comes with the idea of working fully, accomplishing or finishing a work that is necessary to succeed. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 with me, verse 6. Say, preacher, this is hard work, standing. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's because it's spiritual business. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's encouraging Timothy here about what to do in the work of God. And he says in verse 6, for I'm not ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He said, I've stood. I've fought this fight. I've been standing. I've been withstanding in the evil day. I had a course. I run it. I'm finished. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, should give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul would tell the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Too many Christians are being moved away from their steadfastness in this evil day. Too many Christians are not withstanding in the evil day. More and more are being overtaken. The too many used-to-be's. Too many used to be Christians. You say, preacher, what's a used to be Christian? Well, I used to be a Sunday school teacher. Well, I used to be an usher. Well, I used to work in the nursery. Well, I used to drive the bus. Oh, well, I used to go over here and preach. And well, you know, I used to serve in Vacation Bible School. Well, you know, I used to do this and I used to. Too many used to be's. By the way, you follow these used to be's, and at one time they were fully clothed. One time they were fully serving. At one time they were doing the work of God. At one time, they had the shield of faith. They had the breastplate of righteousness. They had their loins girded about with truth. They had their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They had the sword of truth. They had the shield. They had the helmet of salvation. They had it all once upon a time. Say, preacher, what happened? They wrestled against flesh and blood. And when they wrestled against flesh and blood, they had to put that down. And they had to put that down. And they had to go out and start putting the dukes up. Because now it's brother against brother. And sister against sister. It's brother against sister and sister against brother. It's you. You're my enemy. And they forgot. And now there are used to be. I used to be. I used to be. I used to serve God. I used to have my armor on. And you let them tell it, and they will tell you they're still fully clothed. You know what they are? Bamboozled. Satan has won. They'll still tell you, I can understand my Bible just as good at home. I can do these things. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be right with God. I don't need these things you're used to be. Because my Bible clearly says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. And see, devil wants you to lay down your arms. And so you go back and talk to the used-to-bes, and at one time they had all their armor on, and they were serving. Now they're a used-to-be. I'm not saying everybody, I'm just saying some are. First Peter gives this encouragement in 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What happened to those used to be's? They did not stand. They did not stand in the Lord and the power of his might. Back in our text and we'll close. Ephesians chapter number 6. The most dangerous part about this spiritual warfare that you and I are in, this battle, is that the enemy's in verse number 12, most people overlook. And when you overlook an enemy that you cannot see, you will find an enemy that you can see. The devil has blinded millions of people. You and I know better. And so God is saying, Christian, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, you need this because you're not wrestling against something that you can see. And you need to stay with your shield and with your sword and with your breastplate and your loins girt about with truth and your feet shod and your helmet of salvation and your prayers. He says, you've got to stay with that because you can't see the enemy. He can sure see you. But he can't see your armor. But he can sure know when you lay it down. Just like Eve. My question is, this year, we need to be able to stand. But we need to be able to withstand. Standing means that they can't push us over. Withstanding, they can't pull us in. And having done all to stand, still stand. Just like a heavyweight boxer going into the fifth round, you still got to stand. But guess what? If you're standing in the Lord and the power of his might, you can't fall. It's only when we get outside the power, it's only when we get outside the might that we fall. Wherefore, he said, take heed, ye that think ye stand, lest ye fall. Stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. By the way, the devil has not changed his tactics nor his tricks, because they still work. They still work. Why change something that doesn't work? I mean, why change something that still works? Three simple points. Restatement. Wherefore, take unto you reinforcement, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The reassessment, and having done all to stand. He says, stand therefore. One of the first things we're going to talk about standing for next month is going to be the home. The home is under attack, whether you know it or not. Mm-hmm. It's under attack. The traditional home, as you and I know it, is a thing of the past. It's a thing of the past. It's being overtaken by people shacking up, people living together, people having children out of wedlock. It's being taken over completely. And you and I that believe the Bible need to stand, regardless of what culture does, regardless of what society does. We have to stand because it's being taken over. But I'm glad. Jesus said, you know, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? I'm glad he'll find some faith. I'm glad he finds some that'll be standing. Where are you at today? Are you standing fully clothed? If you're not, get dressed. Get right. stay right. Don't stay wrong. Pick up your armor again. Get back in the battle. By the way, we need you. The hardest thing for a Christian soldier to do is to hold his shield and to hold his sword and to have to protect another Christian.
Mm-hmm. That's good, Pastor.
And worse, to have to pull him out of battle.
Yes, sir.
It's hard to have to pull somebody out of battle and put them over my shoulder and, mm-hmm. and take them to safety while I'm still trying to fight the devil.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, Pastor.
But we have so many Christian casualties that we have to try to pull them out, mm-hmm. pull them over our shoulder, and get them out of harm's way, yep. pull them back over here. And then we go out, another one falls, and we got to pick that one up. And whilst we're busy taking and picking each other up, guess what? Nobody's going to the lost. And the devil says, I got them occupied with each other. They'll never go out there and get somebody else because I got them so busy occupied with each other. You do your best to stand. And when you fall, confess it, get right back up. Pick your armor back up, get right back in the battle. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Those that are getting baptized, you can step out, Ronquita. And Isaiah, you guys go ahead and step out. The rest of us, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around just for a moment. We're in a serious battle. If our belief is right, our behavior will be right. But if our belief and our behavior is right, we will have a battle. He said, preacher, I'm not prepared for a battle. Paul says, get prepared. He tells them, then he reminds them again of what they need. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together. Holy Spirit, we know it's a challenge to get folks to listen to the Word of God because this is a spiritual battle. Our minds are inundated with thoughts of other things. But, oh God, arrest our attention for right now. Holy Spirit, do your job. Do your work. Convict hearts. Convince people that Jesus Christ is Lord indeed. Convict them and convince them that they must be born again today. Except they are born again, they cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Convict and convince Christians to stand and to withstand in this evil day. Convict and convince anyone that's not right to get right. Holy Spirit, this is your time, and this is something that I can't do, but only a work that you can do. From this point on, we'll be going into areas of standing. But Lord, we needed all the equipment, our belief, our behavior, and our battle. Help us, Lord. All across this room, I pray that hearts are being challenged even now by the Spirit's call, and they will obey what it is they need to do. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and we're looking around. How many would be honest to say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. I've never been born again. I've been baptized. I've given to the church. I've done some good things. But if I died right now, I'm not really sure that heaven is my home. With every head bowed and every eye closed, with a sincere heart, would you raise your hand? I just want to pray for you. You can raise it and put it right back down. You say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I've never been born again. If I died right now, I might go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room. You raise your hand. Pray for me, preacher. I'm one that's unsure that I'm going to heaven. I want to be sure. Next question is this. How many would say, preacher, if I died right now, I am absolutely positive that I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm a born-again person. And I'm going to raise my hand testifying to the fact that I'm saved. And if that's you, raise your hand, saying, I know I'm saved. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know I've been born again. No doubt in my mind, I've been born again. Amen. Hands all over the place. You may put them down. Lastly, Christian, this is to you. Perhaps you need to do a better job of securing your armor, putting it on, realizing when it falls off. None of us are going to have it on 24 hours a day. We have to be real with ourselves. But maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, when I don't have the armor on, please bring it to my attention. Lord, when I'm not fully clothed, please bring it to my attention so that I can get reclothed. Lord, when I'm not right, please remind me so that I can get right, so that I can have all the elements that I need. I can have my breastplate on. I can have my shield of faith on. I can have my loins girt about with truth. I can have my helmet of salvation on. I can have my shield of faith, my sword. Maybe that's you today. Pray for me, preacher, that I can get that armor back on when I don't have it. Maybe that's you. You raise your hand saying, preacher, pray for me. That when I don't have the armor on, I don't recognize it, that God will deal with my heart. I can get it put back on. Amen. Amen. If we're honest, all of our hands really should be up, because all of us should want a reminder. It's only if we're prideful that we don't want a reminder. Father, you see the hands that have been raised, the hearts that have been touched. Lord, it's our goal this year to stand and to withstand, but we cannot do it without the elements of this chapter, verses 10 through 14. We cannot do it on our own, because it's got to be in the Lord and the power of his might. So, Lord, help us to be reminded of the reinforcement that we need. Help us to reassess and to do all that we can to stand. And then, Lord, help us to stand. And may we stand in your power and your might. These that raise their hand, God, enable them to stand like they've never stood before against sin, against foolishness, against this evil day. And God, those that need to be born again, help that man, that woman, that boy or girl to be born again before it's everlasting too late. Help them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that they may be saved. It's the gospel that they need, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And they need to personalize that to their own lives. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. As Miss Natasha plays, God spoke in your heart, would you come this morning? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. As invitation is played, maybe God spoke in your heart. Oh, the enemies that we're against are unseen. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. God spoke in your heart, would you come? Maybe you need to say, Lord, remind me when I fall. Or remind me when I'm not wearing my armor. Lord, bring it to my attention that I need this piece of armor on. I need that piece of armor on. Remind me of my righteousness that is only of you. The truth that I need to tell. My feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace that I may give it. Remind me, Lord. Remind me what I need. Whatever it is. I want to be clothed. I want to be fully ready to battle. I know this is not against flesh and blood. I know it's against principalities. I know it's against powers. I know it's against the rulers of the darkness of this world. I know it's spiritual wickedness, and I'm no match for it. So, oh Lord God, may I fight in your power and in your might. Having on the whole armor of God, not just a piece, but all of it. Lord, remind me when I leave a piece off. I'm in a battle, Lord. I believe. I'm endeavoring to behave. And because of that, Lord, I know I'm in a battle. Satan's going to try to take me down. But, oh God, help me to stand. Help me to do all I can to stand. And then help me to continue to stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. How about it today? Do you need to be born again? If you died, are you sure you go to heaven? There's a God that loves you, waiting to take you to heaven. But you must repent of your sins. You must call on the Lord. You must be saved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Heaven will be your home. But you'll be in a battle. You'll be in a battle. But oh, it's a battle worth fighting. Because I'm fighting for souls just like mine. Fighting for my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Fighting for my Lord. Day after day. God spoke in your heart. Would you move? Just one more minute. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Well, thank you for the armor that you have given us. Thank you. That is something that we did not have to afford ourselves. Something that you freely gave us when we signed up and accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior and Lord and Master. We got put into a battle. And Lord, our belief and our behavior has put us in this battle. So help us, Lord, to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand, and help us to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, help us to stand. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Dismiss us with thy blessings and prepare us for the baptism. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.